I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Okay, we're back with Sean Martin. This is part two of our Korn Ferry breakdown brought to you by TD Ameritrade. We're doing stock up, stock down on the top 25 Korn Ferry graduates. So there's a list of 50 guys that will be entering the PGA Tour in 2019-20, which the season starts next week, which is insane. But we're just doing the top 25. We purposefully ended last episode on Victor Hovland, or the guy before Victor Hovland. So I want to talk Victor Hovland, who finished 13th on the Korn Ferry. Give me the thing that Chip and I have been talking about, Sean, is you got to pick a guy going forward, Morikawa, Hovland, or Wolf. Who are you taking?
This is definitely recency bias because I've been accused of being on all three bandwagons at once. I think Hovland because
I know.
So Wolf has like the raw power, and if he does the DJ thing where like he refines his wedge game, like he could be DJ dominant. Morikawa has this amazing iron play, but I'm not quite sure it hits it as far as some of the elite players. But then Hovland is like a combination of the two. Like, doesn't drive it quite as far as Wolf, but drives it like, I mean, he would have been second on tour in strokes gained off the tee because he drives it basically super straight and pretty far. And then he hits his irons almost as good as Morikawa. And so, you know, everyone thinks those guys won and he didn't. But like his worst finish, I think, in his last six professional starts is 16th. Like he finished fourth at the Wyndham, finished second on the Korn Ferry. I tweeted he has, since he turned pro, he has more rounds of 64 than he does over par. Like it's just, it's insane. It's probably recency bias and I'm probably gonna look foolish, but I think Hovland.
Did you see the thing on The Athletic about his strokes gained off the tee?
Yeah, that's a dumb question. Of course I did. Huge Athletic, big fan.
Did you ghostwrite it?
No, but the guy who writes The Athletic, Brendan Quinn, is a great guy. He just started doing the Golf Beat this year. He also covers Michigan State hoops and football. But he always finds really interesting stories and does them in a different way. And I'm not going to get like a cut of this, but there's definitely good golf coverage at The Athletic if you're not a subscriber.
He's great. I've hung out with him a little bit at majors, and he really is a good dude. And just super interested in like interesting things, which I'm always, I don't know, that always kind of winds me up. I get excited about that. But the Hovland thing is like he might be the second best driver in the world. Like it might be him and Rory.
Yeah, he might be better than Rory. The big question is,
it's crazy.
How much is Norway going to win the 2018 World Cup or 2020 World Cup by?
Yeah, I know.
I've never been so excited for the Norwegian World Cup team. I mean, no one else stands a chance.
I mean, okay, so he finished 13th. I think it's hard because you start looking at the OWGR stuff from just the events that him and Wolf and Morikawa play, and it's like are they like the question is not are they top 50 guys, it's like are they top like 25 guys? Like what's the like if we're sitting here this time next year, where do you think Victor Hovland is ranked in the world?
I mean, he's already 111th. I'm gonna say.
Is he like 30th?
Two of them are gonna finish in the top 50. I mean, 30th is it seems high.
I guess. I mean, is he gonna be on the Ryder Cup team?
I mean, he has to be. I think
he has to be. The problem is it's going to come down to like, and obviously we're projecting because that's what we do, but it's going to come down to something like, unless he wins like three times or something just stupid, it'll come down to like him and Stenson or him and Poulter, and you're like, okay, well that's, you know, they're going to take the other guys, but it would be really cool to see him on that team.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. It'll be very interesting because, I mean, obviously, media people in golf, especially, have a tendency to get super overexcited about prospects and just like make these crazy bonkers predictions. But also, we are seeing more and more guys succeed at a young age. So it's like you don't want to be like too standoffish and be like, "Well, I've seen this all before. I remember this guy who didn't pan out." But at the same time,
but it's happened on the PGA. It's not like we're taking like college results and applying them to majors. It's happened at majors. Right. He was the low AM at the U.S. Open, at the Masters. Like,
gosh, he did finish 12th at the U.S. Open.
Yes. Yeah, I know. It's insane. And you were doing this thing all year, and I talked about this the other day. You were doing this thing all year in during the college season where it's like, yes, Wolf, but also look at Hovland's numbers. They were the exact – his scoring, like his scoring average, his rounds in the 60s per – start, like all of this stuff, they were the exact same numbers. Like you if you just put player A and player B up there, you wouldn't have known who was who.
Yeah, so, I am the one thing that, so they did play a lot of the Birdie Fest events over the summer where courses are a little bit softer, scores are super low, so like all those like rounds of the 60 stats kind of get thrown out because
I'm talking about in college when him and Wolf were at Oklahoma State and you were doing all the numbers there, and it's like Wolf's awesome, and that's who everybody's talking about because he's like the guy, and like he's fun, and you know, like this huge personality. But Hovland's kind of awesome too. I mean that 17-18 OSU team. And we can talk about Christopher Ventura here, but we can talk about him right now. So
this is a stupid question. Was he in the starting five in the NCAA championship?
Yeah. So it was Hovland, Wolf, Zach Boshue. Austin Ekro was a freshman, and Ventura was a senior. He was the only senior on that team.
Okay.
So he finished 14th on the Corn Ferry. He won – did he win – I think he won twice. Did he win once or twice?
So he had his appendix taken out before Q School Finals, so he played poorly at Q School Finals, which I think is a valid excuse. I haven't seen the doctor's note, but I'll take his word for it. So for people who always are like, oh, it's too hard to get on the PGA Tour, he made one Korn Ferry start before June, missed the cut in that one, and then finished like – oh, and then the best one, I read this on a rival Oklahoma State blog. I'm not going to name it.
Oh, my gosh.
Out of respect for Pistols. So, you know, there's the rule on the tour, it's the top 10, where if you finish in the top 10, you get the next week's event. On the Korn Ferry, it's top 25. But you have to declare like – within 30 minutes of signing your scorecard that you do want to play in next week's event. Like, obviously, you would think it'd be pretty obvious, like, duh, I want to play. But he didn't tell anyone, so he didn't get into the following week's event. But then he got in, like, 2 weeks later and won the thing. And then, yeah, he had two wins and two third-place finishes in 11 starts.
It's crazy. That team was – I don't know. I'm fascinated to see how that team looks 10 years from now. You got anything else on Hovland before we move on?
No. I was hoping he was going to win Wyndham because he would have won on the tour while still the reigning U.S. Amateur champion. That's just a cool nugget.
Did Tiger did that, didn't he?
Tiger won the Masters by 12 when he was the reigning amateur champion.
Yeah, because he wanted in...
He won the AM in 96 and then he won the Masters in April 97.
Well, but he won like 2 months after winning the AM, right?
Yeah.
So
we call that pulling a Matthew Wolf now.
Wait, 2 months after Matthew Wolf didn't win the US Amateur.
Oh, he won the NCAAs after turning pro and you're like fifth pro start or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. Okay. Brendan Todd, number 15. veteran.
Cool, great story. I mean, he hit like rock bottom. I mean, this is a guy in 2014. He won the Nelson.
Yeah, I was there.
And then
thrilling finish.
Played really. I don't remember the details. I'll be honest. But in 2014, he played really well in the Marty Keimer U.S. Open. Like, finished I think 14th. Played in the final group with him on Saturday. Shot a big number.
Was, like, 22 back. Or...
he was in the final group on Saturday. I mean, I remember 2014. Like, he was being bandied about as like a possible captain's pick for the Ryder Cup.
Oh, I remember.
So he made the Tour Championship that year. Finished 46th in the FedEx Cup the next year, and then in the next 5 years, made 5 cuts. He had a year where he made 4 cuts and 25 starts. And then this, but then has slowly gotten back. He was Monday qualifying for events this year. And I mean, he was like, he couldn't keep it on the planet. Like, he was hitting it horribly, but has slowly like worked his way back and got his tour card back. So I don't know like how this portends. He's coming off some really bad years, but it's a cool story nonetheless.
Yeah. I think that's the hardest thing. I mean, I just look at like the Smiley Kaufman deal and you're like, I mean, I don't even know like what's going through your mind. I mean, I know what's going through your mind, but like, what do you do with all that? You know, like it's just,
he played the last group of the Speed Masters.
Yeah, I know. He shot like an 82, but
81,
whatever.
But he had 3 good rounds.
Yeah, it was crazy. But like, I think that is maybe the most impressive thing, is to lose it and then get it all back. And I'm not saying that like Brendan Todd's going to be a top 50 player, but it's just so hard mentally to do that. Henrik Norlander, number 16, stock up, stock down. How old is Henrik Norlander? He's like 36, isn't he?
No, he played in college with Reed.
No. Oh, he looks older.
I don't know what to do with that. Had like limited success on tour. He lost in a playoff, the famous Mackenzie Hughes RSM Classic playoff, where it was like,
sure,
5 guys had to return on Monday.
Who could forget? Wasn't Blaine Barber in that?
He was, which, I mean, and Blaine was like he was the heartbreaking case of this Korn Ferry Tour Championship. Didn't have a very good year. Snuck into the top 75 late, and then was having a great tour championship to get into the top, projected top 25, and bogeyed 3 of his last 5 holes to miss it by, I think, a shot.
Yeah, that's the Ed Lohr. That's like the playoff Ed Lohr thing.
I asked Blaine about, I've asked him if he thinks about that putt, and he's like, because he had a putt at the RSM to win it in the playoff, and he missed it, or to extend the playoff. And he's like, he just said, yeah, like, you can't, like, guys are like, no, you know, I'm over it, whatever, and, you know, I moved on. But their sports psychologists tell them to say that. But he's like, yeah, like, when things aren't going well, like, it's hard not to think about, like, if I had just made that one putt, like, I'd still be on tour, I would have played the Masters, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, he's almost won a couple. I think he finished 3rd at the Honda when JT won. Like, he's contended a couple times. He's on a Walker Cup team, but yeah, I mean, the margins are so slim. If he makes that putt, career's totally different.
It's crazy. Okay, we got number 17, Bo Hostler. I mean, stock way up. Like, I think he's really,
yeah, I think it's
good.
I think that's buying the stock cheap right now. Yeah. I think he's really good, rolls it well. Another Texas guy, just had an off year, which happens. And I mean, he's a guy that you could definitely see winning this year.
Yeah, for sure.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Made it PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
ZB, 18, back on tour. Pretty cool.
famous golf course architect earns his card.
Oh my gosh.
It's a joke. I mean, I've made that joke to him. He gets it. But yeah, I think Zach Blair's just fun. Like, he's what we wish all guys did with social media. Like, and you really can't, once you reach a certain level of like the world, you can't like just spend that much time engaging with people. But like, I mean, he still does like what people wish athletes had done with social media when it came out, of like just letting you into your lives and like seeing what it's like and all that. And so it's fun to have him back on tour.
I think it's crazy, just like, and I think people don't truly understand the difference in terms of like advantage off the tee that somebody like Rory or even Hovland or DJ or whoever has over somebody like ZB.
Yeah. Like,
it's crazy. It's crazy that they're like playing the same, not the same sport, because obviously he's very skilled, but just it's like not even the same game. It's weird. It's like a different thing altogether. And so I just think it's, I don't know. I mean, it's impressive just to keep grinding that out and to keep showing up and get back on the tour.
He's a guy like CT Pan who there's only so many courses probably that he can win at. Yeah. So like for CT Pan to win at Heritage was huge, because that's probably one of the five weeks that he can win.
Yeah.
Because there's no distance advantage. And so same thing like Zach, early sleeper pick, put him in your DFS Sony. Or whatever you play with. Sony.
Yeah.
There's a great clip of him like hitting this 3-wood into the last. Oh, and he just,
yeah.
What did he say? Like, oh baby, it's so good. That's so good, or something like that.
What did he say? I remember I was watching that and I was like, what did he just say? And then I watched it like 100 times in a row because it was so awesome.
It was one of the early like sauce moves.
I think he said, oh my god, that's so good.
Yeah, and then he twirled.
Like, yeah, he was like running up the 18th at Sony. Okay. 19, let's see, we got Ben Taylor at 19.
I don't know much about him, if I'm going to be honest here. We stock up to everyone, so maybe I'm going to stock down him. I've heard
We didn't stock up everybody.
There's been a lot of stock ups.
We hedged on Zhenjiang Zhang.
This is like the YMCA Little League where like everyone gets a trophy.
No. We're talking about, you said that... You said that you think Matthew Neesmith is going to be back on the Corn Fair. No, who was it?
Yeah, just because I was one of those guys who had an okay season, but then won at the right time.
Okay, well, how about this? The next five, we got
Bo Hoag.
We got Onrabon. We got Nelson Ledesma. We got Grayson Murray, Rain Gibson, and Tyler Duncan. That rounds out the top 25.
We're going deep. Are people still listening?
Is Blink. Well, it's a hostage.
Blink twice if you're listening.
Is there anybody in there that you like, that you're excited about?
Grayson, I think, a very talented player. Obviously, he's won on tour. We forget that. It was, you know, an opposite field event. It was the Barbasol, but a pretty talented player. Ryan Labner wrote a great kind of article about him. Obviously, can be a was polarizing on social media, got himself a little bit of trouble on the Twitter sphere, which, as you know, can happen to the best of us.
You just compare me to Grayson Murray on Twitter. That's good. That's awesome.
I think he has all his teeth again. But yeah, I think just a talented player. I went through some injury stuff. I was out for a while. So I think that's a guy who you want to keep an eye on, because the talent's there. It's just about kind of maybe stabilizing and getting some consistency.
Okay, so last two things I got for you. Give me your Maverick McNealy take. He was number he's kind of the one guy that sticks out past 25. There's a couple guys. Robert Streb. These are guys that, I mean, they're
all the way.
They're pretty deep on this, so like their status is going to be It's going to be tough to get starts, but Maverick McNealy 44th on the overall Korn Ferry graduate list. Give me your Mav take, and then give me just what's your favorite story from the Korn Ferry final or the playoffs was?
So name drop, I spoke to Maverick McNealy today for a story I'm working on. As a journalist, that's what we do. But it was actually just a really great interview. Like, I think people probably remember the name. He's gotten a lot of coverage. Just obviously his dad founded Sun Microsystems. His family's literally has billions of dollars. Literally has hundreds of millions times more money than I do, like I said in the earlier pod. Went to Stanford and, I mean, was like all, I mean, we talk about all these guys who are like all American, all whatever. Like, he was like the guy. He was like the number five player at Stanford, like barely making the starting lineup his freshman year. And then sophomore year, he was player of the year for the nation. Won the Hogan Award, won the Haskins Award, tied Tigers' Stanford wins record, like was all everything. And he only spent 2 years on the Corn Ferry, but kind of like we said earlier, like that feels like forever these days, because guys jump out there and like Matthew Wolf did and Colin Morikawa and McNeely just was really open. Like that, I mean, basically he got kind of the driver yips a little bit. He said there was a week that he was home in Vegas. He lost 27 balls playing golf because he just was spraying it off the tee. He was skipped a couple events just because he knew like he couldn't play, and admitted that like he was comparing himself to like other players and just was really down in the dumps about it. But started working with Butch Harmon, and Butch kind of diagnosed him right away, got him fixed up, and played well this season. He hasn't done a ton on the Corn Ferry. Like, his best finish is he finished second early in the year, but it was cool just listening to him talk about how he dug himself out of like what was a pretty deep ditch. It'll be interesting to see what he does. He hasn't had a ton of success on the PGA Tour, but also he admitted that like when he turned pro, he wasn't playing that great. So like we always see the college resume and assume it's just going to continue, but like every player goes through ebbs and flows. And so like for him, it just happened that like he wasn't playing very good golf when he turned pro, and it just kind of unfortunately carried on. So like all that stuff he'd done in the past like didn't matter. I don't know. I don't remember. It was a long conversation. I'm looking forward to writing the story, but definitely it was a good talk, and I think I'll be interested to see what he does.
Yeah, for sure. What was Doug Gim your favorite story from Corn Ferry?
It was the coolest shot. The story, like the older guys that got through, like Vince Covello, who I think is 37, Chris Baker is the same age, like guys who've never been on the PGA Tour, like they've been doing this for 15 years and have never been on the PGA Tour but are still doing it, and finally, like, imagine waiting 15 years like to do something and you finally did it. And like it's one thing for guys who, you know, maybe they win their first event at 37, but they've been on tour for a while, but like again, like that we talked about earlier with salary, like you've been grinding, like barely if making money, if you're making money, for 15 years, like to not give up. Like you have to probably be a little bit crazy to not give up, but also it's admirable for all of us who are like, you know, we're also impatient nowadays in society of like, oh, like I want to be, you know, CEO when I'm 30. And, you know, here's a story about some guy who founded a tech startup and he's a billionaire at 25. And it's like, oh, I'm 37, what am I doing with my life, paying my mortgage? And like we're all just, we hear all these stories that make us all super impatient, feeling like we haven't done anything in our lives. And like it's cool just to see that if you just keep grinding, it won't necessarily work out, but like there's a chance that it will. And just because it hasn't happened in 5 years doesn't mean you have to give up.
So who was the older player that you were, that kind of was emblematic of that, that represented that the most for you?
I mean, Vince Covello was one. He hadn't even won on the – both him and Baker didn't even – they hadn't even won on the Corn Ferry Tour in their pro careers before this season. And Baker, at the Corn Ferry Tour Championship, it was like he had the lead after the first round. He was still in contention. And then slowly Sunday, he was like leaking oil. And then on the last hole, drives into fairway bunker, has to hit it on the green, like has like a 30-foot – birdie putt, and like most of us would have done, like leaves it 5 feet short and has to make that to get his tour card after waiting like 15 years. And you're like, I mean, I wouldn't have even been able to like stand upright, I think, over that putt. Like literally you have a 5-footer, and like if you miss, you've bogeyed the last hole to lose your tour card, and if you make it, you like, I mean, I couldn't even fathom what that's like. And of course he made it, and I don't know, it's just awesome to see.
Yeah, that is cool. Okay, you've given us a ton of time over two episodes, Sean. I appreciate it. Always fun. Good luck with your Norwegian national team at the World Cup next year. Is it next year?
Yeah. If you can, I'm not a betting man myself, but I definitely, if I was going to put some money on the Golf World Cup of 2020, I would definitely And the Olympics, probably. I mean, gosh, Norway might sweep the podium. I don't know who the third guy would be, but it's going to be a banner year for Norwegian golf.
Who do you think? Well, I'll look it up. Who do you think is? Who's your guess for the third guy in Norway right now?
The only other Norwegian golfer I can name is Henrik Bjørnstad, but he's doing television now.
So it's probably not him. Let's see here. I got Iceland if you want that. Let's see. We got this is great radio, by the way. Victor is number one in Norway. Oh my gosh, this is unreal. Ventura is number two. He's 156 in the world. And then number three is a guy named Elric. Not Eldrick.
Not Eldrick.
But Elric. Tage Johansson. He's number 368 in the world.
Sure.
And
are you sure? I think it's sure it's not Eric. I think it's Eric.
It says yeah, that's an I. E-I-R-I-K.
Yeah. I think it's pronounced Eric.
Yeah,
shameful.
My computer is pretty far away right now.
Hey, the next guy is Axel, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then we got another Christopher, and I don't know why we're going through the Norwegian OWGR points list. There's a lot of amateurs on here.
There's a lot of A's in general.
Yeah, there are. Okay, Sean, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk soon, and best of luck as the PGA Tour starts next week. And now it's time for the Perfect Finish, brought to you by Amstel Light. My perfect finish for this weekend is just the U.S. Walker Cup team beating Great Britain and Northern Ireland. You know, I think there's a lot of guys on this U.S. team that you're going to look back on 3 or 4 years and be like, oh, that guy was on that team. Cole Hammer, Brandon Wu, who played in the U.S. Open and Open Championship this summer. Andy Ogletree just won the USAM at Pinehurst. Stuart Hagestad's on the team. I don't know if... You know, he's not somebody that's going to be a pro that you look back on and think about him on the Ryder Cup team. But Akshay Bhatia, there's so many different guys on this team. And you know, only time obviously will tell what will be made of these guys' pro careers. Sean and I talked about that. It's fascinating to look back and see what these teams – see who these teams were made up of 3, 4, 5 years from now. But, just them capping a cool summer for a lot of them with a win – over at Hoylake would be the perfect finish, and then on into the PGA Tour next week for the rest of us. So that has been the Perfect Finish, brought to you by Amstel Light. At the end of any round, you know what the perfect finish is. Excuse me. It's in a nice bottle of Amstel Light. Thanks again to Sean Martin for coming on. Always enjoy breaking down the Norwegian national team with him. Always enjoy getting deep on the Korn Ferry guys, on some guys maybe you haven't heard of. He's awesome. We will be back next week to talk Greenbrier, to talk 2019-20 PGA Tour season. And until then, cheers and thank you for listening.